Aren't you glad for the great truth of that song today? I am glad for the people of God. This world is not it. Amen. Paul said, if in this life only we had hope, we'd be of all men most miserable. I don't tell you I'm not miserable today because I've got hope. Amen. We that are born again have a blessed hope. Now, I believe very soon the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And if it was today, it would be wonderful. Amen. For we that are saved. But I beg you, if you're not, you need to get born again, for the Lord is coming again. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning. I want to preach what's been on my heart for a couple of weeks. Been praying, trying just to make sure what the Lord have us to preach and just this what's on my heart. So I'm going to do my best in preaching this morning by the help of the Spirit of God. You pray the Lord to touch us. I'm in the church family sick. I'm traveling other things, but I'm glad you're here. But most of all, I'm glad the Lord's here. Amen. And He is always present. There's not a day that the Lord's not near you. You say, well, preacher, this been kind of rough. Well, good news, you're not alone. Amen. You can't be alone. When somebody said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, you can't get alone that way. Amen. And so I'm glad for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ today. 1 Corinthians 3, Abel, stand this morning, Will and Abel. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9 is where I'll begin preaching this first Sunday of 2016. Man, hard to believe that, a new year. And I'm thankful God's let me live to see it. Amen. I'm thankful for life and strength, thankful for the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit on the inside today. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9. Bible said, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I believe it behooved you and I to take very good care of what paying attention to these verses. Matter of fact, I'd even kind of underline that last phrase. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I can say this, we don't have to worry about the foundation. Amen. We're not building on the shifting sand of this world, but we're building upon the rock, and its name is Jesus. Amen. The storms will come, the winds will blow, but if your foundation's right, amen, you'll survive the storms of life. So we know the foundation is Christ. Verse 12, the Bible says, now if any build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer a loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Then look over at 2 Corinthians just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just a few pages over. For I'll read verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, and then we're going to pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10 today. The Bible said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, today again for your mercy and for your grace. Thank you for the song of Zion. Thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit living on the inside. Lord, I'm glad to have hope beyond this whole world. I thank you that I know that I know that my name is recorded in your book. Lord, I thank you've gone to prepare, please. And Lord, you will come again. Lord, we don't know if it's today or tomorrow, when it'll be.
But Lord, we're glad we know you're coming. Lord, I desire to be faithful to that moment that we stand before you. Help us. I pray today, I need you to touch me and preach it. Lord, I pray, may the heart, may the mind, I be alert and receptive to the word of God today. Help us, oh God, that we may leave this place a better Christian, bringing glory to your name. We love you, Lord, and thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, one more time. The Bible said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I'm going to preach this morning, the Lord helping me this first Sunday of the new year, on this subject of living in light of the judgment. Living in light of the judgment. Can I remind us that are saved today that the Christian life is not a life that you do as you please. That we're free. I'm not in the bondage of sin. I'm not under the bondage of religion. I have freedom in Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, we that are saved, there is a heart desire to live for Jesus Christ. If you don't have a desire in you to live for the Lord, then something is majorly wrong. You may need to check up about your foundation today. See if you really got born again. I'm glad to tell you today that I'm saved, and I know it, and it is good to be saved. Hey, I'm not struggling through life. I have a companion. I have a friend that's closer than a brother. I have a comforter on the inside who enables me and helps me through the things of this life. Oh, yes. Hey, I'm glad of that. But as I'm living, I sure want to bring glory and honor to him that loved me and gave himself for me. That's why I live right. Is to please the Lord. I want to bring him glory. Amen. It ain't that I'm afraid he's going to reach out of heaven and knock me in the head. And he will discipline you if you're his. But I want to say something. I'm doing what I'm doing because I love him and he loves me today. Amen. And if you want to have a successful year, a year of victory in it, then live in light of the judgment that is to come. And judgment day is ahead for all. Amen. Now you say, preacher, that's an unusual message. Well, that's what God gave me, and I'm trying to be obedient to preach it. Amen. Because I promise you, I know death could lay a hold of us, but I know this, Jesus is coming. And when he comes, we'll stand before him and give an account for our Christian life. And I want to stand before him knowing I did what he wanted me to do. I don't want to be ashamed at his coming. Amen. Oh, I will say this and I'll get into the message. There is no such thing as a general judgment. There are those across the country that preach, you know, one day sheep going one way, goats another. But they're taking that out of context. There are different judgments that are taught in the Bible. First, there's the judgment of sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. That is the judgment that our sin was judged at Calvary. All, hey, listen here, all your sin, all my sin were future the day Christ died. Amen. And he took your sin, and he took my sin, and nailed it to his cross, blotting out the handwriting ordinance against us. Our sins are forgiven, we that are saved. Our sin will never be brought up again. Hey, the world may remind you, the devil may remind you, but the good news is the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Oh, you can have your record washed away today. Hey, I'm glad as a baby is born in this world, they're born without a past. And when I got born again, I was born without a past. Amen. It's gone. Hallelujah. And never had to be remembered against me again. Oh, friend, there's the judgment of sin that took place at Calvary. There's the judgment of self. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 through 32. He does tell us to judge ourselves. You know, if you don't worry about what everybody else is doing, and keep you straight. That's a full-time job. Amen. I ain't got time to keep up with you, what you're doing outside these four walls. I've been told a few times down through the year, preacher, it's like you followed me around. I ain't never done it. But there is one who is with you. And that is the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. So he saw everything this week. He heard everything this week. And then he went by his servant and said, preach on this. Amen. And his servant wants to be pleasing to his Lord, so he preaches on it. Amen. So today, understand, judge yourself. Keep your own self in line. I ain't talking about keeping yourself saved. You couldn't do that. The Lord does a mighty good job of it. But you and I need to take this book daily and let it look at our life, what's not, what shouldn't be there, and get it out of the way. Amen. There's the judgment of self. But in that judgment of self, I want to take time to say this. We are judged as Christians in this life as a son. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11. He chastens them that are his. I'm going to deal with the judgment seat of Christ here in just a moment, but I want to say something. We are not standing there facing sin. Sin's dealt with at Calvary. If I become a sinning son, he deals with me in this life. Amen. I want to ask you something, you that say you're saved. Have you ever been took to the Holy Ghost woodshed? Amen. Have you ever had him pierce your heart and said, you ought not have done it? Amen. It wasn't the fact you looked around. Nobody saw me. I'm all right. No, but when you, before you done it, while you done it, after you done it, the Holy Ghost spoke to your heart. Amen. There's real evidence of being saved if he's speaking to you. Hey, and if you don't heed his words, amen. Hey, most of you was raised by old-fashioned parents like I was. My mama would speak to me and say, stop it. And if I was smart, I stopped it. If I wasn't very smart that day, it would go something like this. Davy Scott Shelton, I said, stop it. I knew right then and there, if it didn't stop, judgment was on the way. Amen. There was not going to be a second chance. There would be no pleading for mercy. It was either stop then or judgment was coming. You say, what happened? Some days I stopped. And other days I didn't, so me and Mama hickory danced. You ever hickory danced? Pull you up by one arm and just around and around you go. With a switch to the backside, amen. And my mama didn't know about counting about licks. She just whooped till she was tired. Amen. And I repented the whole time. I won't do it no more. I won't do it. And she responded in kind. I know you won't. I know you won't. I know you won't. What was happening? She was correcting me. You know what? I've had the Lord speak to me and say, son, you better not. I've had him say, son, you shouldn't have done it. And if I get it right, because by the way, 1 John 1:9, I'm glad it's in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just forgives our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If I'll confess it, get it right, then there's no judgment. But if I don't heed the warning, if God ever starts to judge, he doesn't stop till judgment is carried out. We'll pay for our sin in this life as a child of God. I promise you that. Sometimes some what we're calling storms is not storms, it is chastisement. Amen. And I'm going to say this about that so you don't misunderstand. I believe a true child of God, if he ever is facing something, the number one thing he'll first do is search himself and say, Lord, are you telling me about this in my life? Now, if he's not dealing with you, he'll let you know it. Amen. As you seek his face. But if he's dealing with you, he'll speak to you. It'll be through the word of God somewhere, somehow. He will deal with you as a son. Well, there's the judgment of self. There's the judgment of saints, and I'll deal with that in a moment. Then there's the judgment of society. Understand the nations of the world, according to Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46, Joel chapter 3 and verse 2. The nations of the world are going to stand for God one day. The presidents, the kings, the leaders, ISIS, and everybody else will stand before God. Amen. They're not getting by with nothing. America's not getting by. Russia is not getting by. Saudi Arabia is not getting by. All nations will face God one day. That's the judgment of society. Then there'll be the judgment of Satan and angels. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. I want to tell you something right there. You may have never shouted in your life, but you'll shout at that judgment. Because the accuser of the brethren, Satan, the devil himself, will have to bow before Jesus Christ and declare he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I will be glad when the accuser of the brethren, our adversary, is cast into the lake of fire. Amen. He's not there this morning, but he's heading there. Amen. So we see the judgment of Satan and angels. Then there is the judgment of sinners. Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. We often call that the great white throne judgment, where all those who have not put faith in Christ will stand one day and be cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever their name's not in the book will be cast in the lake of fire. So I ask you this morning, is your name in God's book? If it's not in the book, then friend, you'll wind up at the great white throne judgment one day. And by the way, there won't be a weighing the good against you bad. Hello. It'll not be, have you been a good fella? Are you a good old boy? Won't be that. It's whether or not your name's in the book, and it's not. Therefore, you'll be cast in the lake of fire one day. Amen. But I'm preaching just a moment. I ain't going to preach long, just a few more minutes. On living in light of the judgment that we as God's people will stand before God one day. Number one, listen to me. There is the appointment. He said, for we must all, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We will, as Christians, stand one day before the Lord. There's an appointment with this. We that are saved at the rapture of the church, I believe in the air, will meet him at the judgment seat of the believer. Hey, I want to meet him with a heart of joy. Amen. Now, we're not, none of us going to miss that judgment, we that are saved. We're going there. Now, I want to say this with this appointment. There's no sinners, no lost people at this judgment that I read about this morning. This is only saved people. Nobody lost will be at the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment of the saints. It's just us that's been saved. You will give an account for your Christian life. I will give an account for my Christian life one day. So there is the appointment. Number two, there is the accounting. For we find back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 through 15, he said, therefore other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall not shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we find there's an accounting going to take place. I'm going to give an account for me, and you're going to give an account for you. There's an old mountain gospel song I've grown up listening to through my life. And in particular in the years I lived in Burnsville, as I said before, where I'm at, folk like stuff with a wang to it. And that's one of the songs. But it said this, I'll face nobody's record but my own. I want to tell you, that's exactly right. I will not stand before God for your Christian life. I will stand there giving account for mine. You're not going to stand there giving account for me. You're going to give an account yourself. Amen. What we see in this account, we see first, who is the judge? It's Jesus Christ. We will stand before Him, not each other. Sometimes we ain't careful. We go to church to impress everybody around us. Amen. We can put our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on. We can smile. We can sing our songs. Why, man, we even know when to wave our hand at the right place in a song. Amen. We know when to say amen. We know when to stand up, sit down, shake hands, or leave. We know all that. But when the judgment comes, we're not going to stand for each other. It ain't a matter of fact whether you pleased me or impressed me at all. I've been in this thing long enough. I've seen those that had preacher religion. It ain't impressive. You do it because the preacher does it. But when that preacher's gone, you go a different route. Say amen. Hey, I'll tell you something. The conviction I have, they're not mine because my preacher had them. I'm not doing what I'm doing because my preacher done it. I'm doing it because this Bible teaches me to do it. Amen. You see, I'll stand before Him and give an account to Him. Now, it talks about our works being tried by fire. Somebody said, preacher, what is that? I believe personally that's the eyes of our Lord. For in Revelation chapter 1, as John's in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he hears a voice behind him and he looks and it's the Lord. He falls down dead. Lord, touch him. He raises up. And John said, this is how the Lord looked to him. Revelation 1 and verse 14 said his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Revelation 2:18, as he introduced himself to the church of Thyatira, he said this, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. You see, the Lord can see through all the religious frontage that we have. Amen. Now I know, listen, this message is not meant to be a shout or out message at all. It's meant to be a searching message. I'm of the persuasion and I love to shout. You know how emotional I am in worship. But I'm telling you what, we're needing life changing services again. We need to get in church for God to do something in us, to us, and through us. Amen. Hey, I understand all that's on folks' heart today, but ladies and gentlemen, there's a judgment day ahead. Amen. We will stand before Jesus Christ, and we're going to give an account. We see who the judge is. It's Jesus. Who will be just? Those of us that are saved. Only the saved, again. Now, I want to help you with this, and listen to me right here. The judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment, that judgment center, are 1,007 years apart from one another. Amen. That's taught very clearly in the Bible. We'll go to the judgment seat of Christ at the rapture of the church. Then 1,007 years later, the sinner will, from Adam's race all the way to the end of this thing, will stand before God. Amen. But at the judgment seat of the saint, just say, folks. Then I'll look for just a moment. What will be judged at this judgment? You said, preacher, our sins are judged at Calvary. Yes, that's right. For notice with me again, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, listen to the wording very carefully. He said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now that word bad right there means worthless. There's some things we do that really, if we be honest, is worthless. One of those things trying to impress everybody around you. How worthless. Amen. We're too worried what the brethren think instead of what the Lord knows and what He thinks. We're going to get an account then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 13. Look at it again. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Hey, that word declare there means to make known, to make plain, to bring out into the open, to make evident, to show, to manifest. Hey, that's why I tell you, I don't shout when it comes to the judgment seat. I'm not shouting any time I've ever preached about it. I've never enjoyed preaching on it to God's people. Never. I don't enjoy it this morning. But I know this, it puts terror in my heart. It does. To understand what I may have hid from you today, if all my works, if it was for some other reason other than to glorify God, you're going to find out one day. And if what you're doing has just been to impress us, we're going to find it out at the judgment too, because it's going to be declared, going to be laid plain open, going to be right there, everybody going to see it. Amen. That's a pretty sobering thought, is it not? Amen. Oh, we find that we'll face our works because that's what's being dealt with. Works, not salvation. Hello. Hey, if you're saved, you're saved forever. So we're not being judged whether we get to go to heaven or not. That's already took care of. But we're being judged by our works. Amen. Oh, that's the key word, works, in these verses. Not salvation or sin, but works. There is the appointment. There's the account. Number three, I'm about done. I ain't going to preach much longer. There's the awarding. For we find verse 14 and verse 15, the Bible says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We find there's going to be some rewards given. Now these rewards, they're brought about because we're either laying up gold, silver, and precious stone, or we're laying up wood, hay, and stubble. Now gems, gold, precious stone, those things, if you put them in fire, it just purifies them. It gets rid of the dross, gets rid of what's bad about it. But you put wood, hay, and stubble in a fire and it just burns up, it's consumed. Nothing left. Well, to have a reward, you must be built with gold, silver, and precious stone. There's five crowns you can win. Let me just read them to you quickly. There's a crown for striving, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 27. That is a crown given for those that will control their body. You don't let your flesh loose. You keep it under restraint. You don't live just the way your flesh wants to. You live the way God wants you to live. Amen. Then there's the crown for seed sowers. That's those that have concern for sinners, that take the word of God and witness to folk and tell them about Jesus. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. There's also, thirdly, a crown for steadfastness, being consistent in our Christian life and service. James chapter 1 verse 12, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Get a crown for being steadfast. Then there's a crown for shepherds, that's for preachers who care for the sheep. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. He warned preachers not to be lord over his heritage, preacher boys. Well, I'm not beating nobody. When I preach like this, it ain't about me looking good and others looking bad. It is whether or not I'll be faithful to warn the sheep and to feed the sheep. Amen. So there's a crown for shepherds. Then there's a crown for second coming lovers. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. You can receive a crown just because you love the very thought Jesus is coming back. You understand every Christian that's been ought to win that crown. It ought to be exciting to your soul that Jesus is coming again. So if you live for him, your work is right, the motive is right. Hey, one day, he'll give you a crown. Amen. Somebody said, preach, I just want to make a tab. I ain't worried about no crown. You'll be worried about a crown on that day. You ain't just, hey, if you're really saved, you ain't interested in just getting there by the skin of your teeth. Amen. Now, if you're doing what you're doing for the glory of God, there's a crown waiting on you. Amen. Matter of fact, John 15:16 talked about having fruit that remains. He said over there in the book of 3 John and verse number 8 of that little book, he said this, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. I want to have something laid at his feet, that there's reward. Amen. Now, salvation's free, but crowns, rewards are earned. If you're not doing anything for God, I want to tell you something. There ain't nothing up there for you to lay at his feet. Amen. I know it's sober, and I know that. But you better understand, this thing ain't playing. This is real. Amen. As sure as Preacher Stewart will face the Lord, and he can say that he's been a good soldier, yes. But what about you? What about me? Hey, I want to face God knowing I did what God said to do. Amen. Because see, not only there's reward, but there's also regrets. Verse 15, look at it. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Oh, you're going to make heaven. But see, according to Revelation 4 and chapter 5, there's a big coronation ceremony going to go on in heaven one day. That happens right after the rapture and the judgment seat. And we're going to lay crowns at his feet. The only way you're going to have a crown lay at his feet is if you earned it. Again, crowns are not door prizes in heaven. They're earned while you're here. Amen. And you'll have something to lay at the Lord's feet. So we find that without it, there's regret. I want to get, I'll just read you some words out of an old song. You don't hear this sung a whole lot. Matter of fact, folk, if you sung it, they wouldn't request you to ever do it again. Amen. You see, there's songs you sing, boy, they want you to sing it every time you go to church. But there's some songs you sing that one time out of 6 months or a year is plenty for folk. There's an old hymn that someone wrote years ago, "Must I Go In Empty-Handed?" Amen. Let me just read you the little chorus of the song. It said, "Must I go in empty-handed? Must I see my Savior so? Not one soul with him which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go?" Hey, remember, there is a judgment day ahead. I want to face him. I want him to know that I served him here. Try to, because number four, and I'm done right here, there's the adoration. One day, we're going to fall at his feet, and we're going to crown him with many crowns. We're not making him king, okay? Did you hear what I said? We're not making him king. He's king already. We're just going to make much of the king, Brother Bill. And when we have those crowns that we've been serving God and we receive, then we can lay them at his feet and he's going to put them on. Amen. He's crowned with many crowns. I sure won't have one on him, don't you? Amen. Hey, today as we live our life in this new year, let's live it in light of the judgment ahead, that we're ready to meet God. I want my life to be pleasing to the Lord. I want you to like me. I'm going to tell you something. I try to be friendly. And let me say, that's nothing wrong with all that. But more important than anything, I want to please my Heavenly Father. I want to do what He'd have me to do. Don't you? Amen. Father, take the message now. Use it for Thy glory. I've tried my best to preach what you laid upon my heart today. And Lord, help us to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against Thee. Lord, I love you today. And all you do, we thank and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, heads bowed and eyes closed, I've preached exactly what the Lord has laid upon my heart for this service today. Is there someone here by lifting?